25th window. Like one struck points to the striker, and a finely fashioned work of art necessitates the artist, and an offspring requires a parent, and an undersurface demands a top surface, and so on. Like all these qualities known as relative matters which are not absolute and cannot exist without each other, contingency, which is apparent in particulars in the universe as well as in it as a whole, points to necessity. And the state of being acted upon which is to be seen in all of them points to an act, and the createdness apparent in all of them points to creativity, and the multiplicity and composition to be seen in all demand unity. And necessity, an act, creativity, and unity clearly and necessarily require one who is not contingent, acted upon, numerous, compounded, and created, but bears the attributes of being necessary, an agent, one, and a creator. In which case, all contingency, states of being acted upon, createdness, multiplicity and composition testify to the necessarily existent one, the one who acts as he wills, the creator of all things, the single one of unity. In short, just as necessity is apparent from contingency, the act from the state of being acted upon, and unity from multiplicity, and the existence of the former indicate the latter with certainty, in the same way, qualities like createdness and having all their needs provided for, which are to be seen in beings, clearly point to the existence of attributes like making and providing. In turn, the existence of these attributes point necessarily and self-evidently to the existence of an all-compassionate maker who is a creator and a provider. That is to say, with the tongues of the hundreds of attributes of this sort which they bear, every being testifies to hundreds of the necessarily existent one's most beautiful names. If this testimony is not admitted, it becomes necessary to deny all the attributes of this sort pertaining to beings. 26th window. Hashiya. In English footnote. This window addresses those lovers of God who approach him with the heart in particular, rather than people generally. The ever-renewed instances of beauty and fairness passing over the faces of the beings in the universe show that they are shadows of the manifestations of an eternal beauteous one. Yes, bubbles sparkling on the surface of a river and then disappearing, and other bubbles coming after them and sparkling like those that preceded them shows that they are mirrors to the rays of a perpetual sun. In the same way, the flashes of beauty which sparkle on the traveling beings in the river of flowing time point to an eternal beauteous one and are signs of him. Also, the ardent love in the heart of the universe points to an undying beloved. As is indicated by the fact that something which is not found in the tree itself will not be present in authentic form in its fruit, the ardent love of God present in humankind, the responsive fruit of the tree of the universe, shows that a true love and passion is to be found in all the universe, but in other forms. In which case, this true love and passion in the heart of the universe points to a pre-eternal beloved. Moreover, all the attractions and magnetic forces which appear in numerous different forms in the heart of the universe, show to aware hearts that they are thus through the attraction of a drawing truth. Also, according to the consensus of the saints and those who uncover the mysteries of creation, who are the most sensitive and luminous of creatures, relying on their illuminations and witnessing, they have received the manifestation of a beauteous one of glory and through their illuminations have perceived that all glorious one of beauty making himself known to them and loved by them. Their unanimously telling of this again testifies with certainty to a necessarily existent one, to the existence of a beauteous one of glory, and to his making himself known to man. Also, the pen of beautifying and adorning which works on beings and on the face of the universe points clearly to the beauty of the names of the pen's owner. Thus, the beauty on the face of the universe, and the love in its heart, and the attraction in its breast, and the uncovering and witnessing in its eye, and the beauty and adornment on it as a whole, open up a truly subtle and luminous window. It displays to aware minds and hearts a beauteous one of glory, an undying beloved, an eternal worshipped one all of whose names are beautiful. O heedless one who flounders amid suffocating doubts in the darkness of matter and obscurity of delusion. Come to your senses. Rise to a state worthy of humanity. Look through these four openings, see the beauty of unity, attain perfect belief, and become a true man. 27th window. God is the creator of all things, and of all things he is the guardian and disposer. Quran 39-62. We look at things which appear to be causes and effects in the universe and we see that the most elevated cause possesses insufficient power for the most ordinary effect. This means that causes are a veil, and something else makes the effects. To take only a small example out of innumerable creatures, let us consider the faculty of memory, which is situated in man's head in a space as tiny as a mustard seed. We see that it is like a book so comprehensive, indeed, like a library, that within it is written without confusion the entire story of a person's life. What cause can be shown for this miracle of power? The gray matter of the brain? The simple unconscious particles of its cells? The winds of chance and coincidence? But that miracle of art can only be the work of an all-wise maker who, in order to inform man that all the actions he has performed have been recorded and will be recalled at the time of accounting, writes out a small ledger from the great book of man's deeds to be published at the resurrection, and gives it to the hand of his mind. Thus, since they are comparable to man's faculty of memory, make an analogy with all eggs, seeds, and grains, and then compare other effects to these small and see comprehensive miracles. Because whichever effect and work of art you look at, it contains such wonderful art that not only its common, simple cause, but if all causes were to gather, they would declare their impotence before it. For example, suppose the sun, which is imagined to be a large cause, to possess will and consciousness, if it is said to it, "Are you able to make a fly?" Of course it would reply, "Through my creator's bounty, there is plenty of light, heat, and colors in my shop, but such things in the fly's being as eyes, ears, and life are neither in my shop, nor are they within my power." Furthermore, the wonderful art and adornment in effects dismiss causes, and indicating the necessarily existent one, the causer of causes, in accordance with the verse, "And to him goes back every affair," Quran 11-123. Hand over matters to him. In the same way, the results, purposes, and benefits attached to effects demonstrate self-evidently that they are the works of an all-generous sustainer, an all-wise and compassionate one, beyond the veil of causes. For unconscious causes certainly cannot think of some aim and work for it. And yet we see that each creature which comes into existence does so following not one, but many aims, benefits, and instances of wisdom. That means an all-wise and generous sustainer makes those things and sends them. He makes those benefits the aim of their existence. For example, it is going to rain. It is obvious how distant the causes that apparently result in rain are from thinking of animals and having pity and compassion on them. That means it is sent to their assistance through the wisdom of a compassionate creator who creates the animals and guarantees their sustenance. Rain is even called mercy. Because, since it comprises numerous works of mercy and benefits, it is as if mercy has become embodied as rain, has been formed into drops, and arrives in that way. Furthermore, all the finely adorned plants which smile at creatures and the embellishments and displays in animals self-evidently point to the necessary existence and unity of an all-glorious one behind the veil of the unseen. One who wants to make himself known and loved through these beautifully adorned fine arts. That is to say, this adornment in things and these displays and embellishment indicate of a certainty the attributes of making known and making loved. While the attributes of making known and making loved self-evidently testify to the necessary existence and unity of an all-powerful maker who is loving and known. In short, since causes are extremely commonplace and impotent and the effects attributed to them are most valuable and full of art, this dismisses causes. The aims and benefits of effects also discharge ignorant and lifeless causes, and hand them over to an all-wise maker. Also, the adornment and skill on the face of effects indicates a wise maker who wants to make his power known to conscious beings and desires to make himself loved. O wretched worshipper of causes! With what can you explain these important truths? How can you deceive yourself? If you have sense, rend the veil of causes and declare, "He is one, he has no partners." Be saved from innumerable delusions. 28th window. And among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the variations in your tongues and in your colors. Verily in that are signs for those who know. Quran 30-22. We look at the universe, and we see that a wisdom and ordering embrace everything from the cells of the body to the totality of the world. We look at the cells of the body, and we see that through the command and according to the law of one who considers what is beneficial for the body and administers it, there is a significant management in those minuscule cells. On the one hand, a sort of sustenance is stored up in the stomach in the form of fat and expended at the time of need, and on the other in those tiny cells there is a regulation and storing up. We look at plants, and a most wise planning and nurturing are apparent. We look at animals, and we see a rearing and nurturing which are generous to the utmost degree. We look at the mighty elements of the universe, and we see a majestic government and illumination following momentous aims. We look at the universe as a whole, and we see a perfect ordering for exalted instances of wisdom and elevated aims, as though it was a country, a city, or a palace. As is described and proved in the first stopping place of the 32nd word, from minute particles to the stars, not the tiniest place is left for associating partners with God. All beings are in effect so interrelated that one who cannot subjugate all the stars and hold them in his hand, cannot make a particle heed his claims to be its Lord and Sustainer. It is necessary to own all the stars in order to be the true sustainer of a single particle. Furthermore, as is described and proved in the second stopping place of the 32nd word, one not capable of creating and arranging the heavens cannot make the individual features on the human face. That is to say, one who is not sustainer of all the heavens cannot make the distinguishing features on a single human face. Thus, this is a window as large as the universe, which, if looked through, the following verses will also appear to the mind's eye, written on the pages of the universe in large letters. God is the creator of all things, and of all things he is the guardian and disposer. His are the keys of the heavens and the earth. Quran 39-62, 3. One who does not see these has either no mind or no heart. Or he is an animal in human form. 29th window. And there is not a thing but extols his limitless glory and praise. Quran 17:44. One spring I was setting out on a journey, a stranger, and deep in contemplation. While skirting a hill, a brilliant yellow buttercup struck my eye. It immediately brought to mind the same species of buttercup I had seen long before in my native land and in other countries. This meaning was imparted to my heart. Whoever this flower is the seal of, the stamp of, the signature of, the impress of, all the flowers of that species throughout the earth are surely his seals, his stamps. After this notion of the seal, the following thought occurred to me. Just as a seal stamped on a letter denotes the letter's author, in the same way, this flower is a seal signifying the Most Merciful One. And this hillock which is inscribed with the impresses of these species and written with the lines of these plants so full of meaning, is the missive of the flower's maker. This hill too is a seal. This plateau and plain have taken on the form of a missive of the Most Merciful One. After this thought, the following fact came to mind. Like a seal, everything ascribes all things to its own creator. It proves each is the letter of its own scribe. Thus, all things are windows onto divine unity in such a way that each ascribes all things to a single one of unity. That is to say, there is an impress so wonderful, an art so miraculous in each thing, and especially in each living being, that the one who makes it and inscribes it so meaningfully can make all things, and the one who makes all things is certainly him. That is to say, one who cannot make all things cannot create a single thing. O heedless one! Look at the face of the universe. See the pages of beings one within the other like letters of the eternally besought one, each letter stamped with innumerable seals of divine unity. Who can deny the testimony of all these seals? What power can silence them? Whichever of them you listen to with the ear of the heart, you will hear it declaring, I testify that there is no God but God. 30th window. If there were in the heavens and the earth other gods besides God, there surely would have been confusion in both. Quran 21:22. Everything will perish save his countenance. His is the command, and to him shall you return. Quran 23:14. This is the window of the scholars of theology Kelam, based on contingency and createdness, and their highway for proving the necessarily existent one. For all the details, we refer you to the scholars' great books like Shur al-Mawakif and Shur al-Maqasid, and here only demonstrate one or two rays which spill on the spirit from the effulgence of the Quran and this window. It is as follows. It is the requirement of dominion and rulership not to accept rivals. They reject partnership. They repudiate interference. It is because of this that if there are two headmen in a village, they will destroy its tranquility and order. Or if there are two chief officials in a district, or two governors in a province, they will cause chaos. Or if there are two kings in a country, they will cause complete and stormy confusion. Since a pale shadow and petty example of dominion and rulership in impotent human beings needy for assistance does not accept the interference of rivals, opponents, or peers, then you may compare how fully a rulership which is in the form of absolute sovereignty and a dominion at the degree of dominicality will enforce that law of the rejection of interference in one possessing absolute power. That is to say, the most definite and constant necessity of Godhead and dominicality are unity and singleness. The clear proof and certain testimony to this are the perfect order and beautiful harmony in the universe. There is such an order from the wing of a fly to the lamps in the heavens that the intellect prostrates before it in wonder and appreciation, declaring, Glory be to God! What wonders God has willed! How great are God's blessings! Had there been an iota of space for partners to God, and had there been interference, as the verse. If there were in the heavens and the earth other gods besides God, there would have been confusion in both. Quran 21:22 indicates, the order would have been destroyed, the form changed, and signs of disorder would have appeared. But as the verses, so turn your vision again. Do you see any flaw? Then turn your vision a second time. Your vision will come back to you in a state dazzled and truly defeated. Quran 67:3-4 state and point out, however much the human gaze tries to find faults, it can find none anywhere, and returns worn out to its dwelling, the eye, and says to the fault-finding mind who sent it, I am worn out for nothing, there are no faults. This shows that the order and regularity are most perfect. That is to say, the order in the universe is a definitive witness to divine unity nocta come now, let us consider, createdness. The scholars of theology stated, the world is subject to change. And everything which is subject to change is created. Every created thing has a creator, a maker. In which case, the universe has a pre-eternal creator. And we say, yes, the universe is created. For we see that every century, indeed, every year and every season one universe, one world, goes and another comes. This means that there is an all-powerful one of glory who, creating the universe anew, creates a universe every year, indeed, every season, and every day, and shows it to the aware and conscious. Then he takes it back and puts another in its place. He attaches one universe after the other like the links of a chain, and hangs them on the string of time. For sure, the universes which appear from nothing and disappear before our eyes every spring, each a new universe the same as this world, are miracles of the power of the Omnipotent One who creates them. The one who continuously creates and changes the worlds within the world most definitely created the world too. And he made the world and the face of the earth a guesthouse for those great visitors. Now let us come to the discussion of contingency. The scholars of theology said, contingency is equal in regard to both existence and non-existence. That is, if existence and non-existence are both equally possible, one who will specify, prefer, and create is necessary. For contingent beings cannot create one another in uninterrupted and never-ending chains of cause and effect. Neither can one create another, and that the next, in the form of causation. In which case there is a necessarily existent one who creates them. They rendered null and void the never-ending causal sequences with the famous 12 categorical proofs called the ladder argument, and demonstrated causality to be impossible. They cut the chains of causes and proved the existence of the necessarily existent one. And we say this. It is more certain and easier to demonstrate a stamp peculiar to the creator of all things on everything than causes being cut at the extremities of the world with the proofs refuting causality. Through the effulgence of the Quran, all the windows and all the words are based on this principle. Nevertheless, the point of contingency possesses an infinite breadth. It demonstrates the existence of the necessarily existent one in innumerable respects. It is not restricted to the way of the scholars of theology, cutting the chains of causes, which in truth is a mighty and broad highway. It opens a path to knowledge of the necessarily existent one by ways beyond count. It is as follows. We see that in its existence, its attributes, and its lifetime, while hesitant among innumerable possibilities, that is, among truly numerous ways and aspects, each thing follows a well-ordered way in regard to its being in innumerable respects. Its attributes also are given it in a particular way. All the attributes and states which it changes throughout its life are specified in the same fashion. This means it is impelled on a wise way amid innumerable ways through the will of one who specifies, the choice of one who chooses, and the creation of a wise creator. He clothes it with well-ordered attributes and states. Then it is taken out of isolation and made part of a compound body, and the possibilities increase, for they may be found in that body in thousands of ways. Whereas among those fruitless possibilities, it is given a particular, fruitful state, whereby important results and benefits are obtained from that body, and it is made to carry out important functions. Then the body is made a component of another body. Again, the possibilities increase, for it could exist in thousands of ways. Thus, it is given one state among those thousands of ways. And through that state it is made to perform important functions, and so on. It progressively demonstrates more certainly the necessary existence of an all-wise planner. It makes known that it is being impelled by the command of an all-knowing commander. Body within body, each has a function, a well-ordered duty. In all the compounds that one within the other themselves become components of larger compounds, and has relationships particular to each, in the same way that a soldier has a function and well-ordered duty in his squad, his company, his battalion, his regiment, his division, and his army, and a relationship particular to each of these sections, one within the other. A cell from the pupil of your eye has a duty in your eye and a relationship with it, and has wise functions and duties in your head as a whole and a relationship with it. If it confuses these the tiniest jot, the health and organization of the body will be spoiled. It has particular functions with regard to each of the veins, the sensory and motor nerves, and even the body as a whole, and wise relations with them. That specified state has been given it within thousands of possibilities through the wisdom of an all-wise maker. In just the same way, each of the creatures in the universe testifies to the necessarily existent one through the particular being, the wise form, the beneficial attributes given it among numerous possibilities. So too, when they enter compounds, those creatures proclaim their maker with a different tongue in each compound. Step by step till the greatest compound, through their relations, functions, and duties, they testify to the necessary existence, choice, and will of their all-wise maker. Because the one who situates a thing in all the compounds while preserving its wise relations, must be the creator of all the compounds. That is to say, it is as though one single thing testifies to him with thousands of tongues. Thus, from the point of view of contingency, the testimony to the existence of the necessarily existent one is as numerous, not as the number of beings in the universe, but as the attributes of beings and the compounds they form. O heedless one! One who does not hear this testimony, these voices which fill the universe, must be dead and unreasoning, is that not so? Come on, you say. 31st window. We have created man in the best of forms. Quran, 95-4. And in the earth there are signs for those who are certain and in your own selves, will you not then not see? Quran, 51-20, 1. This window is the window of man, and it is concerned with man's self. For more elaborate discussions of it in this respect, we refer you to the detailed books of the thousands of learned and scholarly saints, and here only point out a few principles we have received from the effulgence of the Quran. It is like this. As is explained in the 11th word, man is a missive so comprehensive that through his self, Almighty God makes perceived to him all his names. For the details we refer you to the other words, and here only explain 3 points. First point. Man is a mirror to the divine names in 3 aspects. The first aspect. Like the darkness of the night shows up light, so through his weakness and impotence, his poverty and need, his defects and faults, man makes known the power, strength, riches, and mercy of an all-powerful one of glory, and so on. He acts as a mirror to numerous divine attributes in this way. Even, through searching for a point of support in his infinite impotence and boundless weakness in the face of his innumerable enemies, his conscience perpetually looks to the necessarily existent one. And since he is compelled in his utter poverty and endless need to seek for a point of assistance in the face of his innumerable aims, his conscience in that respect all the time leans on the court of an all-compassionate one of riches and opens its hands in supplication to him. That is to say, in regard to this point of support and point of assistance in the conscience, 2 small windows are opened onto the court of mercy of the all-powerful and all-compassionate one, which may all the time be looked through. The second aspect of being mirror-like is this. Through particulars like his partial knowledge, power, senses of sight and hearing, ownership and sovereignty, which are sorts of samples given to him, man acts as a mirror to the knowledge, power, sight, hearing, and sovereignty of dominicality of the Master of the Universe. He understands them and makes them known. For example, he says, just as I make this house and know how to make it, and I see it and own it and administer it, so the mighty palace of the universe has a maker. Its maker knows it, sees it, makes it, administers it. And so on. The third aspect of being mirror-like. Man acts as a mirror to the divine names, the imprint of which are upon him. There are more than 70 names, the impresses of which are apparent in man's comprehensive nature. These have been described to a degree at the start of the 3rd stopping place of the 32nd word. For example, through his creation, man shows the names of Maker and Creator, through his being on the most excellent of patterns, the names of most merciful and all compassionate, and through the fine way he is nurtured and raised, the names of all generous and grantor of favors, and so on. He shows the differing impresses of different names through all his members and faculties, all his organs and limbs, all his subtle senses and faculties, all his feelings and emotions. That is to say, just as among the names there is a greatest name, so among the impresses of those names there is a greatest impress, and that is man. O you who considers himself to be a true man, read yourself. You may otherwise become animal-like or be inanimate. Second point. This points to an important mystery of divine oneness. It is like this. The relationship between man's spirit and his body is such that it causes all his members and parts to assist one another. That is, man's spirit is a commanding law from among the laws pertaining to creation, the manifestation of divine will, which has been clothed in external existence, and is a subtle dominical faculty. Thus, in administering the parts of the body, and hearing their immaterial voices, and seeing their needs, they do not form obstacles to one another, nor do they confuse the spirit. Near and far are the same in relation to the spirit. They do not veil one another. If the spirit wishes, it can bring the majority to the assistance of one. If it wishes, it can know, perceive, and administer through each part of the body. Even, if it acquires great luminosity, it may see and hear through all the parts. In the same way, and God's is highest similitude, Quran, 16-60. Since the spirit, a commanding law of Almighty God, displays this ability in the body and members of man, who is the microcosm, surely, the boundless acts, the innumerable voices, the endless supplications, the uncountable matters in the universe, which is the macrocosm, will present no difficulty to the all-embracing will and absolute power of the necessarily existent one. They will not form obstacles to one another. They will not occupy that all-glorious Creator, nor confuse Him. He sees them all simultaneously, and hears all the voices simultaneously. Close and distant are the same for Him. If He wishes, He sends all to the assistance of one. He can see everything and hear their voices through everything. He knows everything through everything, and so on. Third point. Life has a most important nature and significant function, but since it has been discussed in detail in the window on life, the 23rd window, and in the 8th phrase of the 20th letter, we refer you to those, and here only make the following reminder. The impresses in life, which, intermingled, boil up in the form of emotions, point to numerous names and essential divine qualities. They act as mirrors reflecting the essential qualities of the ever-living and self-subsistent One in most brilliant fashion. But this is not the time to explain this mystery to those who do not recognize God or do not yet fully affirm Him, and so we here close this door. 32nd window. It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to make it prevail over all religion, and God is sufficient as witness. Quran, 48-28. Say, O men! I am sent unto you all as the messenger of God, to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. There is no God but He. It is He who gives life and death. Quran, 7-158. This is the window of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the son of the skies of messengership, indeed, the son of suns. Since it has been proved in the 31st word, the treatise on the ascension, in the 19th word, the treatise on the prophethood of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and in 19 signs of the 19th letter, how luminous and evident is this most brilliant, large, and light-giving window. We shall think of those two words, and that letter and its 19th sign, and refer the word to them. For now we just say this. Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the living, articulate proof of divine unity, demonstrated and proclaimed divine unity throughout his life with the two wings of messengership and sainthood, that is, with a strength that comprised the consensus of all the prophets who had preceded him and the unanimity of the saints and purified scholars who came after him. He opened up a window onto knowledge of God as broad and brilliant and luminous as the world of Islam. Millions of purified and voracious scholars like Imam Ghazali, Imami Rabbani, Muhyiddin al-Arabi, and Abdulqadir Gelani. Look through that window, and show it also to others. Is there any veil that can obscure a window such as this? Can the person who accusingly does not look through this window be said to possess reason? Come on, you say. 33rd window. Praise be to God, who has revealed to His servant the book, and has allowed no crookedness therein. Quran, 18-1. Elif, Lam, Ra. A book which we have revealed to you, in order that you might lead mankind out of darkness into light. Quran, 14-1. think of all the windows we have mentioned as being a few drops from the ocean of the Quran. Then you will be able to compare how many lights of divine unity like the water of life the Quran contains. But even if the Quran, the source and origin and fountain of all those windows, is considered in an extremely brief and simple manner, it still forms a most brilliant, luminous, comprehensive window. To see how certain and shining and luminous this window is, we refer you to the treatise on the miraculousness of the Quran, the 25th word, and to the 18th sign of the 19th letter. And beseeching the merciful throne of the All-Glorious One, who sent us the Quran, we say, O our Sustainer, do not take us to task if we forget or unwittingly do wrong. Quran 2-285, O our Sustainer, let not our hearts deviate now after you have guided us. Quran 3-8, O our Sustainer, accept this from us, indeed you are the All-Hearing, the All-Seeing. Quran 2-127, and turn unto us, for you are the oft-returning, most compassionate. Quran 2-128. Note. God willing, this 33rd letter of 33 windows will bring to belief those without belief, strengthen the belief of those whose belief is weak, make certain the belief of those whose belief is strong but imitative, give greater breadth to the belief of those whose belief is certain, lead to progress in knowledge of God, the basis and means of all true perfection, for those whose belief has breadth, and open up more brilliant vistas for them. You cannot say, therefore, that one window is enough for me. Because if your reason is satisfied, your heart wants its share as well, and so will your spirit want its share. Your imagination will also want its share of the light. The other windows are also necessary, therefore, for each contains different benefits. In the treatise on the ascension of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, it was primarily the believer who was addressed, while the atheist was in the position of listener. But in this treatise, it is the denier who is addressed, while it is the believer who is in the position of listener. This should be taken into consideration when looking at it. Unfortunately, due to an important reason, this letter was written with extreme speed. It has also remained in the state of the first draft. There will certainly therefore be some irregularities and defects in the way it is expressed, which are due to me. I request of my brothers then that they look at it with tolerance, and correct it if they are able, and pray for my forgiveness. Peace be on those who follow guidance, and may those who follow their own desires be censured. Glory be unto you. We have no knowledge save that which you have taught us. Indeed you are all-knowing, all-wise. Quran 2:32. O God, grant blessings and peace to the one whom you sent as a mercy to all the worlds, and to his family and companions, and grant them peace. Amen. You can subscribe to our channel by clicking on the profile picture.